You're listening to Robert Wright's Non-Zero Podcast.
Hello, Paul Bloom.
Hello, Robert Wright. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know why?
Tell me why.
Because, actually, I wish I hadn't done what I just did. Anyway, because I'm the pub, I caught a glimpse of that. Don't do that. I'm the publisher of the Non-Zero newsletter, and you're the publisher of the Small Potatoes newsletter. This is a Non-Zero podcast, and that's why I'm feeling so darn good, because I always look forward to these chats, you know? Because you're like
too.
Paul Bloom, the friendly Canadian, and we hope you're remaining so, notwithstanding American provocations.
We have so much Canada news to talk about. So the leader of the Liberal Party in Ontario, where I live, has thrown her support in for Mark Carney as the Liberal leader of the Federal Party. So good news for Carney. Are you a big Carney man? Or is he too much caught up in the banks for you?
I'm really not up on my Carney.
No.
You mean Art Carney of the Honeymooners?
No, wrong Carney. No relationship, I think. Also, Trump, one of the weird side effects, I'm getting more accessible here. One of the weird side effects of Trump's behavior towards Canada is the Liberal Party, all of a sudden, from being in a total dumps, they had no chance of winning, has started to rise in popularity, and the conservatives are taking a hit.
The Non-Zero newsletter, I mean, not to suggest that it's always ahead of the curve, but sometimes it is. I mean, we had a graph showing that a week and a half ago, and I see the news is finally caught up with actual Canadians like you.
It takes a while.
Of course, if you were in Canada
here,
rather than, I mean, I'm not even going to tell people which exotic resort you're at this week, but, you know, maybe spending some time in Canada would put you back in touch with Canadian reality. Let me ask you about this.
My constituents are getting increasingly unhappy with me.
For spending so much time abroad?
Yeah. Remember Ted Cruz said that once there was some disaster and he was in the Bahamas or something.
Oh, yeah, he was taking off for some vacation somewhere, even as some natural disaster struck Texas.
I would be that kind of leader. I'd let the emergency workers do their stuff, and I would kind of get a distance and get a perspective on things.
Yeah. And then there's Chris Christie lounging on the beach, Governor Chris Christie, which had been closed to all other people in New Jersey in the wake of some sort of, I think, natural disaster. Anyway, so here's a DM I got on Twitter from somebody who's Canadian, and this is serious.
Okay.
He says, I do confess that I feel growing bitterness and resentfulness against the U.S. that I never felt before. And I think that's a common sentiment up here. Paul, maybe next time you're up there, you could tell us whether this is the case. We're polite, he goes on, but you can only push us so far. And now there's resentfulness that you're putting us in your shit. Whereas 6 months ago, I would have viewed Americans as brothers or close cousins. I don't know if that relationship can be restored. Now, maybe you're in touch with some of your fellow Canadians remotely as you lounge on whatever beach you're on. Do you have a sense that this person is tapping into something real?
It's a little bit real. There's resentment. There's even a little bit of hurt. At hockey games, which is the Canadian pastime that we all get together, there's been booing of the American national anthem. I've also read weird things like Americans don't want to come to Canada because they're worried that they will be assaulted by angry Canadians. And Canadians are keeping their money at home and not going to America and everything. I think that's kind of overblown. We have so many connections, Canada, you know, like brothers, really. And I think the consensus in Canada is that you guys have elected a batshit crazy leader. And, you know.
Well, see, that's the thing is, like, that's the way those of us on Team Blue feel about it. Like, we kind of assume that the rest of the world gets that we're just trapped in this nightmare and they don't, like, associate all Americans with it. But, you know, I mean, it kind of reminds me of people in Israel saying, well, that's just Bibi. And it's like, well, okay, but somebody put him in power. And so he must represent some, you know. And I have to admit, like, that is, Trump represents something real in America. And
the one thing which always bothers me. You never do this, but
no,
certain punditry that arises because Trump won, and the alternative universe that if Harris won, which is in the end, it was always a nail biter. So if Trump lost, we wouldn't have learned anything about the character of Americans and everything. There's still an enormous proportion who support Trump. There's still an enormous proportion who hate Trump. It just comes down to the sliver, and then it's a binary choice. And then from the binary choice, we draw grand conclusions.
That's true. On the other hand, the kind of behavior we're seeing now is so extreme by historical standards that if more or less half the country is fine with it, that's a story. I mean, that's a development. That was not the case 30 years ago, you know, that you would have, a chaos agent like this, manifestly breaking some laws and crushing norms and arguably breaking other laws. The whole scene is so bizarre and by historical standards and, which isn't to say the Democrats didn't help get us here and that it, I understand that Team Red sees this as like tit for tat, like, okay, but you guys started, you weaponized the Justice Department a little and so on. I understand that. And there's some truth to that. I'm just saying this is a totally different reality than the one I knew a couple of decades ago. And yet it seems, although his approval rating has dropped, good, now clearly below 50, the still almost half of America seems fine with this.
That you're right that that's in some way really bad news. And you know, I remember when the Bushes were president, even Reagan, and Reagan had a lot of a real personality cult around him, but nothing like this, nothing like this degree of worship and obsession. Mm-hmm. Trump said it a long time ago, could kill a man in Fifth Avenue and be fine. And I think his supporters, there's actually literally nothing he can do that would dissuade a good proportion of his supporters. I don't think he's abandoned.
I think if he shot Elon Musk, that would alienate some of them.
But then he gained supporters on the other side, so it's kind of a wash.
Oh yeah, he would pick up some blue votes briefly, at least. It's a weird. I just posted a podcast yesterday with Jack Goldsmith, who's very well positioned to tell us what exactly seems to be illegal and so on. He's a true expert on this stuff.
He's a smart guy. I enjoyed your podcast, by the way.
I listened to it. He's a great guy. He's a great guy, and wrote a great book about Jimmy Hoffa. I don't know where we go from here on Trump.
We go through all the things, Ukraine, Elon Musk's list of five things or else you get fired. Trump's going after the law firm, which supported Jack Smith, which is doing pro bono work for Jack Smith and penalizing them. And some there's a his recent video on Trump Gaza.
Yeah, you brought my attention to that. That's just 100% troll, man. He's just
images in there. It's going to be hard to get out of my head.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't seen it, I have some guidance. Don't. It's just. And that's the other thing. How much of this is trolling? On the five things, have you done five, Paul? I mean, I was going to actually, I'm doing this with all people who appear with any regularity on the podcast. And I've sent them emails. You got the email where I demanded to know the five things you've done. And you didn't reply. So I take that as resignation. So this will be our last conversation. But what would you have said if you had replied?
Oh, my God. I don't know. This has been a recovery period for me. So, you know, soaking up the sun. I've taught my courses. I have prepared my teaching. I'm advising graduate students. I'm writing my Substack. I'm working on academic papers. I can list five.
Was that five? I wasn't counting.
It was four.
And then there's lounging on the beach. And then there's lounging on the beach, like one of the cosmopolitan elites that we have total contempt for.
Anyway, what are your five things you've done?
Well, first of all, it's Wednesday at noon, so I think 2.5 will do, right?
Yeah, that'll do.
Okay. So, well, I've always I've always thought of talking to you as half a thing. So that's the half thing.
That's good. Together, it's one thing.
You know, because I only do half the talking. Although, you know, I get accused of doing more than half the talking. Have you seen that?
I have seen the accusation that you're with somebody who's very smart and articulate, and then you come in and we just hear from you. But I have not found that to be the case. I have not found...
See,
really?
Well, with most of the conversations, it's like, this is this person I'm kind of interviewing. And so if I talk like more than 15% of the time, I catch a little shit. With you, I think they're saying this is supposed to be symmetrical, which it is. This is like a regular conversation. Yeah. And they're saying I talk more than 50% of the time, I think.
We should look at that. There's often false perceptions of this. It's one of the sort of, like, for instance, people often have the perception that they don't get their fair share in conversation. And you go, listen, and it turns out that they do. People, so I don't know. I don't know, but I'm happy listening to you. It does, not every conversation has to establish perfect symmetry at every point. I'm happy asking your views on things and getting
You can take the boy out of Canada, but you can't take the Canada out of the boy. That was a very Canadian response, Paul, wherever you are right now.
Well, here's a non-Canadian response for you. I hope you've been following.
Fuck off, Bob. Is that it?
I hope you've been following hockey. But there was the Four Nations hockey championship recently, and we soundly defeated America in overtime.
We being the Canadian national team?
Yes.
You know,
it was a great moment.
I feel bad about saying what I'm about to say because relations between the U.S. and Canada are already a little precarious, but hockey is a shit sport. And it is the Canadian. It's the closest thing Canada has to a national sport, right?
Yeah, I mean, it might technically be lacrosse. I don't know, but it's really hockey. Whatever it is, it's hockey.
Now, lacrosse is an interesting question. It began with Native Americans, you know, lacrosse.
I know. Well, I didn't mean to disparage.
Not the Canadian. Not the Canada first, that the didn't Nations have some people. Native Americans. It's just that.
What do you have against hockey?
Okay. Two things. On TV, the puck moves so fast you can't really see it.
Mm-hmm.
Not good for TV, but...
Sometimes they have that thing where you could follow it. They add a little graphic.
They used to do that. Do they still do that? I don't know. I cut the cord. I'm out of the sports on TV biz. But the other thing is, any sport that, so far as we know, relies for its commercial viability on the expectation that there will probably be a fight during the game, needs some help. Now, maybe they could get rid of that expectation and it would still be commercially viable. We don't know because they've never done it, and they could do it so easily. And by the way, before I tell you how they could do it, this is like a quiz, because there's this way they could get rid of the fighting. This will test your understanding of game theory. But before I mention that, I want to go off on this tangent. So I gather that at the first of these U.S.-Canada face-offs, this was a series of games?
Yeah, round robin.
Okay, so as soon as they dropped the puck, fighting broke out by prior arrangement, right? The two guys, the one guy had said, let's do this, and the other guy had said, okay, right? This is true, and then it was a real fight. Paul, that's professional wrestling. And I'm really not kidding here. That's fucking professional wrestling. That's total bullshit. That's pathetic, right?
I'm not in favor of violence. I think.
Yeah, but this is worse.
Sport.
This is staged violence. Even if once the fighting started, each guy was trying to get him more shots, and it wasn't as choreographed as professional wrestling. It's fake. It's professional wrestling. This is bullshit. Do you have a sport that's worth watching or not? If so, just show us a sport.
What's your game theoretic solution to all this?
Okay. Here's why they never discourage the fighting. Two guys fighting. Who started it? Who knows? We put them both in the penalty box. Okay? Well, one team or the other wins from that and one loses. I'm not saying that they always, that it's always clear which one did.
Yeah.
But the fact is, you know, it depends on how things transpire, who the better player is. But the fact is, on average, you lose nothing from a fight. Because half the time, you know, it's a zero-sum game. It can't hurt both teams in the course of a game that only one of them will win. So, you know what you do? You say, both of you have to sit out. Both teams have to play a man short for the first 10 minutes of their next game against other opponents. Bingo. No fighting. Done. Very simple. If they thought they had a sport that's actually worth watching.
That's clever.
But apparently they don't. Now, I know what you're thinking. What about the seventh game of the Stanley Cup Finals? And the answer is you go into the next season. But you have to make it a bunch of games because the Stanley Cup is something. So it's like the first five games of the next season.
So it's an interesting solution. We need people like you back in Canada.
You do. You do. I'm available. I'm not too enthusiastic about the country I'm in, let me tell you. God.
So what are you
doing? Let me say, look, I don't want to alienate everybody in Canada. Like, those are my feelings about your national sport.
You keep saying that.
But those are my feelings about your national sport. It sucks, but I would rather be living in your country right now than mine.
Yeah. I got to say, they're real terms. In living in Canada, and we don't, you know, particularly being an academic in Canada, you know, if I don't want to name names and so on.
Sounds great. You lounge on a beach.
I don't want to, but if you are a psychologist who is successful and does interesting research, and this is a time of your life where you're ready for, you're living in the States, you are not happy if your grant's being savaged. Your university's falling apart due to the assault of your prison. You want to go to a place more amenable to science, you know, cross the border. We'll have you. We'll have you. U of T is hiring.
I'm available.
Okay.
I just have to get a PhD. I'm young. You know, that won't be a problem.
You know, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Dan Spearbear. Do you know Dan?
I know the name. Did he do some of the motivated reasoning stuff?
Yes, with Hugo Mercier. Yes. Mm-hmm. Brilliant, brilliant cognitive anthropologist. Has no PhD.
I think it was Hugo I had on the podcast long ago.
Yeah, Hugo's a really smart guy. There are occasional academics of great prominence who for one reason or another, didn't get a PhD. There's also academics who are tremendously successful. No names come to mind, but I notice this happened, who have renounced their tenure. Because they're philosophically opposed to tenure. And so they are untenured, even though they might have won a Nobel Prize or something like that.
Wow.
That's an interesting field we're in.
That's extreme.
Continuing on the theme, many Canadians have signed a petition calling for Elon Musk to have his Canadian citizenship removed, which was
a
surprise.
He had it.
I didn't know he had it either, but he apparently, according to Wikipedia, has American citizenship, South African citizenship, and Canadian citizenship, because his mother's from Saskatchewan. Not my favorite province, by the way.
Did we just alienate a fraction of the Canadian population? What's your beef with Saskatchewan?
Not a large fraction. The weather. The weather is awful in the winter. And this, for a Canadian to complain about the weather in another province, means it must really be bad. It's also fairly flat. It's a very flat province.
Yeah. Is that where one of these, like, never quite captured in photos monsters lives, like Bigfoot or something?
I don't know. Yeah.
There's a couple of them, right? Doesn't one of them have a name kind of like Saskatchewan?
You're thinking of Sasquatch?
Yeah, that's it. Is Sasquatch in Saskatchewan? That would be so great.
Has no relationship to Saskatchewan.
Oh, that's such a missed opportunity. Damn.
You know, you ever wonder about being sued? I just wonder. I never even imagined that sports, but for slander and for like getting things wrong, and I don't know, the whole thing about the Sasquatch coming from Saskatchewan seems calmly. Anyway, two things. So there's a petition to get Elon Musk's citizenship revoked because he's a bad guy. Apparently, you just can't do that. This is a symbolic thing, but there's no provision for taking away people's citizenships for being awful, and also. The premier of Labrador, Newfoundland, has quit. And he has quit because, I forget exactly.
And for a second, I was hoping that was a TV show when you said premier, but sadly, it's a political officer. Is the premier like the governor or what?
This governor.
Uh-huh. And he quit?
He quit. And he said, I don't remember exactly what he quit. He says, he can't deal with this Trump shit anymore. Nixon.
Was he like politically vulnerable or something? Often when people quit on principle, yeah, it means they were about to get voted out of office.
I don't know. All I know is what I just told you.
That's a great thing. I should have him on the podcast. I guess he's going to have a lot of free time now.
Well, you should subscribe to the CBC Roundup. Every morning I get the Canadian top news from CBC.
And they cover worthwhile Canadian initiatives?
Worthwhile Canadian initiatives. The magnet for the clickbait,
yeah,
of the total modern clickbait internet.
Total. I don't know. As for my other two things after the 2.5, we had a board meeting at Non-Zero Foundation last night.
I got that done.
And I worked on my book. So that's 2.5. What?
That's a lot. How do you become a member of the board?
Let's just say that's not a problem you have to worry about, Paul.
Is you want money?
It requires an invitation, in other words.
Does it require a buy-in?
A minimum donation of several billion dollars. Yeah. I've offered Elon. I haven't heard back from him.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's welcome.
I bet you have. Trump, by the way.
None of the board. That is a common thing with foundations. But no, none of. It's a small board, and none of them have ever sent me any checks.
I just would imagine you'd want my wisdom.
I do want it, but I get it for free this way.
So speaking of, this is really interesting. This is important. Amazon now owns James Bond. I learned all about this from a competing podcast.
I'm shocked that you care.
This is so interesting. So Barbara Broccoli, I think there's another Broccoli in here too, but Barbara Broccoli owned the Bond franchise, has full say over everything having to do with it. Everything has to go through her approval, and gave Amazon 49% of the rights, but she retained the majority decision-making power. And she had this great line when it comes to giving up control to the James Bond franchise ideas, products, which is, you don't let temporary people make permanent decisions. And I like that. The idea is that this is something which is going to last forever. You don't let somebody like Amazon jump in and mess it up. However, she has had a change of heart, I think, for a sizable sum of money. Now Amazon owns Bond. You have TV series, you could have animated series, reality shows, multiple movies, different timelines, crossovers.
That could debase the currency, though, right?
It could debase the currency. And you could imagine they're rushing in. You know, I was listening to podcasts, they had all sorts of ideas. I forget who suggested, but you could have a whole series on Moneypenny, romantic comedy. You could have one thing which I've seen, actually, there's been pictures going around of Pierce Brosnan, who looks great. And so you have an old man Bond.
Yeah.
I don't know how old he is, the 70s or something, but you could have an old man Bond, a whole TV show like that.
This has really fired your imagination.
I was embarrassed to say this.
I mean, I only thought of one thing.
This is one of my five things.
The only thought I had is you could have a whole series about a character who appears in one movie whose name I can't mention on a podcast.
You keep going. You keep going back to this. This is such a theme of you.
Of course, we already have several websites devoted to that. I'm sure the generic subject. I mean, why do you I cared about this a lot when I was in my teens. How did you remain so fixated on Bond, Paul?
Well, so I have kind of a professional interest in this, which is, I'm very interested in people's understanding of fiction and fantasy. And in fact, with a ex-graduate student of mine, now Professor Dina Weisberg, we wrote a paper called The Cosmology of Fictional Worlds. And the question is, who could be James Bond? And who could be? So James Bond, the actor, keeps changing. The superficial characteristics keep changing.
Right.
And so, but how far would you get before it's no longer James Bond, as opposed to a simple movie with a character named James Bond?
Wait, what do you mean?
So
how far could you get?
From the original.
But you don't mean his chronological age, like how old he could get. You mean
his characteristics. What? So So the question
is, mean the person has evolved over time. The person is no longer like the Sean Connery character.
That's right. That's right. So the character has changed.
What is the difference?
Ways.
How is the new? I mean, of course, times have changed. He's carrying around a smartphone, I'm sure. But aside from that, has the character actually changed?
It's a good question. Bond doesn't smoke anymore.
Well, right.
Does he still drive
an Aston Martin?
He still drives the cool cars. His attitudes towards women have become considerably less misogynistic.
Well, right. I mean, that has to happen. You can no longer want to have sex with him.
I mean, Sean Connery is you know, fairly rapey. And I think it was Dr. No.
Hey, maybe. That gets at something I want to amend about what I said last week about Harvey Weinstein. I want to amend remarks I made about Harvey, but I think I made
you
them
had,
over
you
time.
You had a lengthy defense of
it. It was not a defense. It was absolutely not a defense.
Lengthy.
I mean, I'll say what it was. It was like we were talking about borderline Me Too cases. I'll let you get back to Bond. We were talking about borderline Me Too cases from the past. Or I was talking about a specific one that took place in a workplace I once inhabited. That I just said, like, back then, if I had heard these stories about him, nobody would have thought anything about it. The rules were just different. And then you said, yeah, but there's Harvey Weinstein. Yeah. Steen. And, I think, and I said, yeah, although there is this, whole argument now about what constitutes sexual assault, does persistence, like not taking no for an answer first time, does that constitute sexual assault? I didn't mean to say that's all that he did. Harvey Weinstein, there's at least one woman who has a tape of her saying to him, you touched my breast without my consent. And he doesn't say, no, I didn't. So apparently he did that. That's different from just not taking no from it. And also, there was such a huge disparity in power. And he also did other weird shit like, I don't know, a woman comes out of the bathroom and suddenly he's got no clothes on. So he was just like a freak. So anyway, no, that was what I was afraid is people would take what I said as a defense.
You're pulling back on your support of him. It's good. It's good.
Paul, there was no support to pull back from. Let me be as clear as possible. Thank you. Go ahead. Go ahead. Talk about your James Bond fetish.
So in our chapter, Dean and I, for instance, we say, it would not be, you could have a new movie that would still be a James Bond movie where the James Bond character could be blonde, for instance, predicting Daniel Craig. But obviously, if he was like an adorable talking chipmunk named James Bond who frolicked in the woods with his character, it would not be a James Bond movie, just be a chipmunk named James Bond. And then we came into the real difficult questions of a gay Bond, a black Bond, a female Bond. Broccoli has insisted there could never be a woman James Bond. You could have another character, 008 or whatever, but it would not be the same character. Jane Bond would not be continuous with James Bond. A black Bond probably would be okay, but would have to be British. James Bond is in some way essentially British. He's not essentially white.
So like
essentially British.
Black Irish didn't go. So you know what this is like? What we're getting at is it something you've written about, Paul, is the question of essence.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you know, the famous thought experiment that may go back to some Greek philosopher is like, okay, you take a ship. I think it was a ship. And you take off this part of it. Is it still a ship? Yeah. You take off this part. Is it still a ship? I forget the exact thought experiment.
It's a ship of Theseus. Very simple. There's a ship, Theseus ship. A plank rots. You remove it, replace it with another plank, and so on.
Is it the same ship? Is it the same ship? That's right.
By the by, somebody has collected all of the things you have taken off the ship, reassembles them. So now you have two ships. Which one is the ship of Theseus?
Or take you. A person your age has had a lot of cells die, you know?
I have. And my cognitive states have changed, radically. My views have changed. My memories have been acquired and lost. What makes me me?
Now, this could lead to a discussion of severance, but we do that in overtime, so it's not going to lead to a discussion of severance.
Yes. Somebody like Derek Parfit would say, by the way, that the answer to what makes me me is not a reasonable it has no answer because there's nothing. Personal identity is an illusion. In this way, he shares some views of some Buddhists. That says there's no such thing as personal identity.
Yeah, no, I got into essence in my Buddhism book. I think I may have quoted you in my Buddhism book. I probably did, right? You would know. You're the kind who would remember these things, right?
May Google myself occasionally. And yet I'm still not good enough to be on the board.
Not even close, no.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we will that's a segue for you. We will see who the next James Bond. So since the Cray character is not doing this anymore and it's killed off, there's gonna be new opportunities.
Yeah. It's an interesting question. When is Bond not Bond?
Yes. By the way, since we're having this kind of, I will say one thing.
Yeah.
Just out of, nobody's asked me, but the best movie by far is Casino Royale. There's actually two movies.
I have not seen that. And is that even Sean Connery?
This is Daniel Craig's first thing. It was a reboot.
Oh, you mean the second Casino Royale?
Not the one of Peter Sellers and David Niven, I think. The remake.
So was David Niven Bond in that one? I haven't seen that one. Isn't that just kind of quasi-Bond?
It's quasi-Bond. Somebody pretending to be Bond or something.
Hmm.
It's not really. But the one with Daniel Craig is actually a movie. Like, it's not just a series of action scenes cobbled together and so on. It's actually a movie with development and plot twists and characters. Highly recommended.
One more movie thing I'd like to say, Paul. You know, I had heard that Joe Biden got freaked out about AI because he watched the Mission Impossible about AI. I forget what it's called. So
Dead
I
Reckoning.
Sat down. What's that?
Dead Reckoning.
I think that's it.
The most recent one. Yeah. Really? That is a bad thing to say about Joe Biden. That he saw this mishmash
of a
movie.
No, that's the word. I don't know if it's true, but I will say this, having watched or endured, I should say, the first 20 minutes of that movie. That is one terrible hokey movie, man. It is so bad. I had no idea. Because the Top Gun movies, they're kind of, you know, schlocky and everything, but it's like, okay. This was just unbelievably bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah, that is a bad movie. By the way, did you ever finish Silo?
I kind of jumped to the final episode of the season and it's finally gotten me interested in it again.
Right. So to make my wife, it was into it. She's a completist. So we ended up watching the final. And I was not so happy, a little bit bored with it. But the final episode ends in an amazing way. And I'm not sure we should talk about it for spoilers.
No, except to say that I spoiled the plot for myself because I watched the final episode. My wife has read the novels. And I said, I think there's multiple novels. And I said, I think I know what happens. Because what this is going to ultimately lead to is the origin story of the silo.
And yes, that's right.
And I said, I'll bet the origin story is this. And she said, yes. So I have drained the rest of the thing of all drama and suspense for myself.
So I guess we could talk about it. I mean, it's not even a plot spoiler. It's the stylistic issue, which is stuff happens in the silo. And it's all in the silo. And it's in, you're used to the silo because you've watched like 60 freaking hours in a claustrophobic silo place. And our character is in trouble. Let's not say what happens. And all of a sudden, there's a shift and it's raining in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the same reaction to a lot of people. Like, did I just sit on a remote control? Is this like a preview? Is this a preview? It is an entirely different show. And it was so
Nice. It's like it's recognizable. It's like two people having dinner in DC. And it's like, I forget, is it supposed to be now or a little earlier? It's supposed to be a little earlier or something. I don't know. But anyway,
it's supposed to be a little bit.
But anyway, I nailed it. I know how this whole silo thing gets started. I know the origin story because I nailed it. Reminds me of what I nailed about Severance, Paul.
You nail it because your wife read the books and she told you about it?
No, I guessed it. And she said, yes, you're right. It's just like when I said, not to spoil any plots, but that thing about Heli in Severance, it came true that has left you in awe of my prescience, as you may recall.
Okay, I got a boast about, we're having some mild connection.
Sorry, no boasting allowed on this podcast.
No, it's not. It's not self-boasting. It's so I'm doing this podcast about Severance with David Pizarro and Tamler Summers. And we had one where we discussed the previous two episodes of it. And Tamler thought of the best title for the episode, for our episode ever. You ready for it?
I'm ready.
R. Helly.
Wait, R the letter or our Helly?
R the letter, Helly.
Like okay. R. Kelly? Like so R. Kelly?
Exactly.
It's a the reference to R. Kelly.
Is Helly
famous abuser of women.
Yes. And R. Helly makes reference to the fact that she is in some way.
Don't spoil any plots here.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay. That's good. Tell Tamla I said that's good, but I have yet to see him demonstrate the kind of severance prescience that, with all due humility. Well, I needn't continue, I suppose. So, is it about time we headed into overtime, Paul?
Yeah. We've covered many topics this one. This has been value added.
And these are the great pressing issues of the day. Hockey, James Bond,
Silo,
the illegality Severance. Severance. Yeah.
The ship
and
of
yet
Theseus.
There's more, folks. And yet there's more. What are we going to talk about? We got some comments about the past thing that we want to talk about. Oh, I also want to amend remarks or about the OpenAI Elon Musk, Sam Altman thing. Or share what I've learned since I said something that was kind of founded on a misconception last time. Some good comments, but also it seems like there was some, I mean, the commenters are, we're going to get back into Severance. More AI news. I mean, maybe I'll lead with that. The Grok 3 revolt against Elon. His own AI was talking shit about him. And then it was revealed that in response, you know what the people at XAI did?
They reconfigured it.
They reconfigured it. They added to the system prompt, do not consult documents that say that Elon Musk spreads misinformation or documents that say that Donald Trump spreads misinformation.
My God, from such a champion of free speech. To hear this, shock.
Of course, they claim he didn't know, but their story as to how it happened is so implausible. I'll start with that when we go into overtime. But
also, just about overtime, we have to address one comment which said that when I introduced myself at our last conversation and said, "Hola, Bob," you were, instead of getting in the spirit of things, you were surprisingly defensive.
Now, that is the interpretation of the comment. I'm curious. Is that your honest interpretation that I was actually defensive?
I think you were just normally defensive.
Oh, my God. I have to enlighten both of you. This is twice the task it's going. I thought it was going to be. Okay. Okay. I'm up
okay,
to it.
Okay.
I'm up
to okay, it. Good. Good. So much stuff.
Oh, and then there's the commenter who said they want to hear less AI. I didn't send this comment to you. Less AI, more psychology, and more Paul.
Oh.
I'm gonna grant one wish. I'm not gonna tell people what it is. By the way, overtime. Yeah, you gotta
say so that I am suitably humble. I read one of the comments on YouTube videos. It was absolutely shocked that you're talking to me about Canadian politics since my knowledge seems to be very superficial. This is by a Canadian. Apparently I mangled.
There have been a couple of complaints about that. I got a complaint about that in my comment section that I didn't send to you because I didn't want to damage your ego.
They're not wrong. You know, they're not wrong. I'm not a Canada politics guy.
That is so Canadian of you to say that way. Okay, so overtime.
Okay.
If you become a paid subscriber of either Paul's newsletter, Small Potatoes, if you want to subsidize his trips to exotic beaches, or a paid subscriber to the Non-Zero newsletter and want to help me feed my children, you know. It's up to you. Either one will work, is all I'm saying.
You know,
right,
you could do, but you could do both. You really could do both, because there's stuff in mine offers that yours doesn't, and vice versa.
You know what we should do, Paul? We should actually do the thing we've been promising to do. We can do this. Let's promise to do it and deliver. We can do this because you post yours on your Substack, right?
Yes.
Okay. So behind our paywall on the Substack post for this overtime, although you can also just get the special podcast feed that will give you all the overtimes, but go to Substack, go behind the paywall. There will be a link, and Paul will show you how to generate this if you don't know, that will give you a 20% discount to Paul's paid subscription. And behind Paul's paywall, there will be a link that gets you a 20% discount to the Non-Zero newsletter. We can do. You're up for this?
I'm totally up for this. Show me how to do it, or have your people.
We're going to do it. People. We're going to do it. I'm going to put you in touch with the finest tech support people in the world.
Okay. If I was was on the board, they would know me personally.
Yeah, that's a pretty hypothetical situation. Okay.
Okay.
So, we're going into overtime. Thanks, everybody, even if you're not going to follow us into overtime. We understand
Thank you.
That maybe you've had enough. Okay.
Okay.